Good morning. Have you ever made a mistake and then you wondered, what was I thinking? Right? How could I have done that? Or maybe you've seen somebody else do something, really stupid. And you're like, what were they thinking? Right? How could they make that decision? With guys, it usually starts off with, hey, watch this. Right? And then somebody's bleeding or in the emergency room. Right? It's a bad decision that happens after that. But maybe you've made a money mistake in the past. Dave Ramsey, if any of you have heard of him, he calls it paying stupid tax. Right? Some of us have done that. And there are other mistakes that we wish we hadn't done. Some of them are serious, right? They affect relationships. They can be damaging. They can be damaging to our relationship with God. So that question came up, why do we make bad decisions? And sometimes decisions that other people can see are clearly a bad decision, right? I read an article a couple weeks ago. It's called Why You Make Bad Decisions and Four Ways to Stop. It was written on July 25th, 2019 by Robert Pearl. He's a physician and former CEO of Kaiser Medical Group. And in this article, he explained scientifically what leads people to make regrettable decisions and how can we make better ones. So I thought it was an interesting article. So according to this author, it's common for people to dismiss other people's mistakes, right, their reckless decisions, and think we would never do that ourselves. But there's some science that says that we would, far more than we'd like to believe, that we can be the ones making those foolish decisions ourselves. So this author, he got together and they pulled together some research to look at this topic and look at why do people make irrational decisions? Why do they make mistakes, things they wish they hadn't never done in all parts of life? Right? And I thought it could really apply to us. So some of the points I have here today are directly from that article, and some have been altered to match us, because we have a different slant on life, being followers of Christ and His ways. So why do we make bad decisions, and how can we stop? The first point is to acknowledge that we are all vulnerable. Every one of us. We're all vulnerable to making bad decisions. And that's regardless of who we are, how smart we are, our social status, our IQ, even what church you go to. So in this article, they discuss a topic called brain shift. And really, under the right circumstances, our brain works subconsciously and can cause us to believe things are right when they're really not. Really contradict what reality says. And it's, once again, unrelated to our intelligence, morals, or past behaviors. And we don't even know what's happening when it is happening to us. And this situation of brain shift, it occurs in two contexts, situations involving high anxiety or high reward. So when we get into those situations in our lives, high anxiety or high reward. He goes on to say, under these circumstances, any of us are capable of making foolish decisions. Once our perception is distorted, we act in ways that seem reasonable to us, but foolish to observers. So they looked at a study that happened in 2005, where they took these participants, five people, and there was just two shapes up on a screen. And different shapes would come up. And when those shapes would match, you were supposed to say, it matches now, and just raise your hand and say that those shapes matched. Well, four of these people that were doing this study they're actors, okay? And they were told to yell out the wrong answers to something very simple. So when these two shapes would come up, if they didn't match, the actors would say, that's it. And 30 The study found that only 30% of the subjects were answered the questions correctly. Something so simple as, do these two shapes match each other? And it was based on that fear and anxiety related to the group, right? The group was affecting this one person's decision to make the easiest decision. And they actually did MRIs, look at people's brains, and they could see that fear was involved in that. But the point is that our perception can be distorted easily when we get into these situations of fear or high reward, causing us to make a decision that doesn't make sense to others looking at it. Let's turn over to 1 John 1. So it's important to know that this can happen to any of us. So in 1 John 1, verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Right? Very simple statement. But to know that we all have areas where we can slip up. And we have to know that about ourselves, that these things can happen. And we have to be, and we'll look at what we can do to prevent that. So let's look at a story here. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel 13. In 1 Samuel 13, I believe this was actually read last week. So we have Saul and the Israelite army together in 1 Samuel 13, verse 5. And we'll see that Saul makes some decisions based on fear. Here, something that he might not have done in a normal circumstance. 1 Samuel 13, verse 5, it says, then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in the multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. Some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. So Saul was told to wait for him before moving forward, to wait for Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul's under some pressure here, right? I mean, this is a scary situation. You have thousands of enemies that are coming down, and all your soldiers are hiding in holes, right? So what does Saul do? In verse 9, so Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Right? And we heard the story before. It happened as soon as he did this that Samuel came. And Saul went out to greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? What did you do? And Saul answers. He says, when I saw the people were scattered from me and you did not come within the days appointed, the Philistines were there. He said, I didn't know what to do, basically. So he thought I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. So we're talking about how we can fall into these situations too, right? So Saul, he's under a severe threat, okay? There was definitely some anxiety in this situation. And he made a decision that when we look back at it, it's like, why would he have done that, right? He was told not to. Well, there was some anxiety. When he was there in that situation, it probably seemed like the right move for him at the time, but it clearly was not. You know, and then we don't need to go there, but just the next couple chapters over in 1 Samuel 15, it's the whole story about the Amalekites. Saul was told to go in there and destroy them completely. But there was all this really, really nice stuff there. Really nice. And they kept it. They kept it. They were told to burn it, and they kept it. Right? And if you read that story, he thought he was doing the right thing again. But he wasn't, right? He had this reward there. It looked really good. And it made him start to think, you know what? It'd be better if we kept it. But he wasn't doing the right thing. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." It's something to always remember, right, in our lives, that we can have this thought that something seems right, but it says the end is the way of death. So we must acknowledge that we can be swayed to make bad decisions, that we're all susceptible to it, even maybe without knowing that it's happening, right? We might think we're going down the right path, believe we're doing the right thing, and it's the wrong thing. We have stories in the Bible that lay that out for us. So what can we do? What can we do about that? So the next point is, we can identify situations that tend to stir up your fears or desires. Identify situations that stir up your fears or desires, right? When you're in that high anxiety or high reward situation. There was another study brought up in this article that I read, and it actually was done in 1973 by researchers John Darley and Daniel Batson. So they wanted to do a study on people's decision making. And this is actually at a religious school, a college, and there was like interns there. So they're going to do an experiment with these interns. So an intern would come in, and these researchers would give the intern a packet of paper, and it was a sermon on the Good Samaritan. And some of the students, when they came in, they would say, "Oh, you're a little early. It's okay. Just head over when you have a chance and drop this off at a room across the campus." Some of these other interns would come in, and they'd say, "Where have you been? What's the problem? You're late." And they'd give them this sermon on the Good Samaritan and say, you got to get over there and give this to this class. They're waiting for you." And then they would go, right, go to this class. Well, when they're walking across campus, there's a man laying in a doorway moaning, right? So our thought is, if we came across a man laying down on a school campus moaning in some kind of distress, we would stop, right? Well, in the study, only 10% of the group that was told that they were late stopped to help the person who was laying on the ground. And they're carrying a sermon of the Good Samaritan. It was just to put a twist to it, right? And so 63% of those who thought they had plenty of time stopped to help. So there's a wide variety. 63%, probably not a good number, but much higher than that other group, right, who was under some stress. And it made me think, right, would I stop? Would I do the right thing if I was under some other stress dealing with something and just kind of push away something more important, right, that I should be doing? Something to consider, right? And when we get into having that anxiety in our life, what is that causing us to do as far as decision making? So the study concluded that the best explanation is that amid anxiety, most of the students experienced a shift in their mind that caused them not to see or recognize that this was a situation they needed to deal with. It's actually scary to think about. So we need to recognize that in our lives when we're in those situations, when we have those feelings. We'll read another story out of the Bible, similar. Let's turn over to Exodus 32. And this is the story of Israel and the golden calf. And when you when I read the story and I think back of it, I would think, what in the world? How could they do this, right? How could they possibly make a golden calf and do all these things against God after what they've been through? And this is later on in Exodus. It's not like they just found out about God or anything like that. Let's read it. Exodus 32, verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know where he is. You know, maybe he's dead." And Aaron, think about that, who was there with Moses, right, in Egypt doing the when all the plagues were happening, part of those miracles, said to them, "Break off the gold earrings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So maybe Aaron was under some pressure here, right, starting to feel some anxiety. And he starts to make a decision. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molten calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." They rose up early the next day, offered burnt offerings, brought a peace offering, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And they had a big party is what they had, right? And so how could they do that, right? And think about that. The boss is gone, right? Dad's gone, maybe you'd say. They have some freedom. Maybe things are looking okay without that. You know, it's all right to have a little party, right? We want to do what's right. We're still saying it's God. And it got out of control. It got way out of control, right? And even Aaron agreed to it. To a situation that, looking at it, it's like, how is this even possible, right? How could they do this? Well, they were in situations that stirred them up one way or the other, either out of anxiety or their desires, and it caused them to make a very bad decision. There's a country song out there, I think some of you probably listened to country, a few years back, Dierks Bentley. It's called "What Was I Thinking?" And it explains this process a little bit. Basically, the guy, there's this girl. She jumps in his truck and smiles at him. And whenever that happens, the dad, he comes out with a shotgun to shoot him. And they take off, and the guy ends up getting in a fight. And then they end up running from the police. And he finally gets his girl back home, and he's like, "What was I thinking?" Right? What was I thinking? And the girl gets out, but then she looks at him and smiles and jumps in the truck, and they take off again. And the dad's coming out the door with a shotgun. So it just replays, right? He's in the same situation. That's probably a high reward situation for him in that point. But he's making a bad decision, right? What is he thinking? And so we have to recognize that. What causes us to lose focus in our lives can get us into these situations. So the next thing we could do, the next point, is to ask a friend, an outsider, or an expert for their opinion before making a decision. Right? We're told to seek wisdom. You don't need to turn there, but in Proverbs 4:7 it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." And we know we've been asked to read Proverbs. We'll turn there. We'll go ahead and turn to Proverbs and look at some. Let's turn to Proverbs 27. But having friends, right, or others who can either encourage you or give you some advice or a different perspective on really any decision in your life is something that we really need to take advantage of to avoid winding up in these situations when we're like just regretting a decision that we had made, thinking it was good at the time. Now, having friends or others can give you a clear path. And there are people in this room, if you say, who's my friends, right? Well, you want somebody who doesn't just agree with you, right? But maybe somebody who would help you. And people in this room, if you don't know who to ask, there are people in this room who would help you with any situation. Just look for them and seek them out. So Proverbs 27 and verse 6, we'll read a couple of Proverbs here about this. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's something to consider. Sometimes you don't want to hear what this friend or expert or person is saying to you, right? Because you already have a mindset that I want to go this way, and if they're telling you no, you should probably go this way instead. You gotta, those hurt sometimes. So it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Something that we should consider when looking for advice from people. Let's skip down to Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Same thing, right? Looking for guidance from others when we have decisions to make. You know, we know that asking some people can be a bad idea, right? I'll read from 1 Corinthians 15, but it says, evil company corrupts good habits. So it's careful to consider who you're asking for advice, but very wise and a good idea to ask when you need to make a decision. We can ask about all kinds of things, right? Should I purchase this item? You know, some things are little, some things are big, right? When it comes to maybe a car, maybe that's something that's a big decision in your life, or a house. Should I start a job? Should I quit a job? You know, should I date a certain person? Right? All things that are decisions that can look good to us in one way, and other people might be saying, don't do it. You're going down the wrong path. Well, we should get that input from others. It's important. I'll tell you a story, a decision I made recently. It was my brother's 40th birthday, and my younger brother calls me, and we're like, what are we going to get? What are we going to get our brother for his birthday? And I don't know who said it, but it was like, I think we should get him a spear gun. And I'm thinking, that is the best idea I've ever heard. And I hear Tina, who was in the room, kind of over-listening to this conversation. She says, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. So, I didn't listen, and we still got it. And I thought it was a great present. But anyways, point is, it's what you see in your mind, right? And that's a little example. It didn't hurt my, you know, my income or my budget too bad or anything like that. But when somebody you trust says that is a stupid idea, you should probably consider it. It's a good thing to consider. But we have to develop those relationships, right? God wants us to be in His family, and we're all a family here. So we have to work together and help each other out with those things. And it takes patience sometimes, respect, and it takes hard work to build and maintain those relationships. We'll go down to Proverbs 19, verse 20. This is out of the New International Version, but it says, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Once again, just reinforcing that. So get sound advice, even if you don't like the answer, and consider that advice. It can keep you out of trouble. So I have another point. It's a fourth point. Now, in the article, it was, think what bad could happen and how would you feel if that happened. But I didn't like that. I thought that was how we feel necessarily shouldn't be the deciding factor. So I came up with the point, consider what God wants me to do. Right? Consider what God wants me to do or would want me to do with any situation. Would God have a concern with the decision that I'm making? We have tons of decisions to make. We have opportunities, options. The values that we have in following God, it does not change, right? And we have to always show that respect to God, right? He wants us to live and follow Him. Solomon, I'll just read it here. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Right? He had everything in his life. And this is a familiar scripture to many. But what he came to the conclusion in Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." So the choices that we make. So we have to consider what God wants us to do. Right? Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And Jesus Christ telling us to do that. Right? Consider what God wants in your life. So we have these examples, Solomon, Jesus Christ, and they're saying, in the end, obeying God is what matters. Always consider that. And it can be difficult to do sometimes when we want to make a decision. And we've talked about that. Daily contact with God is something we need to continually do, and it will help us avoid those bad decisions in our life. But we live in a world that's full of addictions. It's easy to make a bad choice, right? With anything. Media, games, food, alcohol, even work, right? All kinds of things in our lives that we have decisions to make, and it can be easy to make the wrong decision. So always keep what God wants us to do in our mind. Let's turn over to James 1. James 1, verse 5, it's a scripture I use often because we all need help with the decisions that we make, with the choices that we're making in our lives. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So think about that, right? We have decisions to make. We should be asking for that wisdom daily. I'll just read Proverbs 3:5 here from my notes. It's another scripture that's a favorite of mine. "But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." In all your ways, it says to focus on God and what He wants in our lives. Let's turn over to Philippians 4. In verse 6, this kind of hits on some of the topics that we talked about that when we have anxiety in our lives or distractions that come up. But Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." But don't be anxious, is what it's saying. It's like, rely on God, think about what He wants for you, and ask Him for that, to help you with those decisions. There's the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" It's kind of thrown around, but it's something to consider, right? What would Jesus do in this, with whatever choice you have? We must consider those, what God would want, what Jesus would want in our life with any of the decisions that we're making. So focus on this first. It is really number one in our lives with the commitments that we've all made here to serve God in His way. So if we never felt unsuccessful, right, we wouldn't really push ourselves to move forward. But luckily, we're all unsuccessful sometimes, right? There's no doubt we're going to make some bad decisions. We will all make stupid decisions at some point in our life. Decisions where others will say, what was he thinking? Or what was she thinking? You know, but we can reduce those mistakes before they are made, if we think about it. But we must remember that we're all susceptible to making bad decisions, to making mistakes based on fear or reward, right? When we're in those situations in our life. But we can take a really serious look at our lives and identify situations that get us into trouble, where we're more likely to make those bad decisions, maybe avoid those situations. And we can depend on people who we trust, right, to help us with the choices in our lives, to give us good advice, not to agree with us, but to help us and guide us and help us to really see what is reality in the decisions that we're making. Of course, we should consider, what does God want me to do when decisions come up? Does that influence the outcome of our decision? Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't sometimes. Every one of us will still have stories about something that we did in the past that was really stupid. Okay, it still will. And I know when we get together, we're like, one time I did this and or that, and or so-and-so did this. But we want to reduce those, right? We want to reduce those events in our life. So if we consider these points, we might end up with a few less of those stories about us,